wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty good shepherd, I love the Lord.
It's always a great privilege to be able to come together and remember a saint that has died. God honors us while we live, and God also honors a saint when we die. And so as we think about the life that God gave Sister Oates, there's a paragraph in Luke 7 that I'd like to read and see if by the Spirit of God and His help, we can think about this life together. All right? Luke 7. I'm going to read a paragraph that begins with verse 11 and it ends with verse 17. Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. And it reads this way. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And finally, verse 17, and this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Amen. As we think about these verses and the reality that God brings before all of us at the time of death, I'm hoping that the Spirit of God will bring some perspective, not only for life, but for death. For those that know Christ, to bring great comfort. For those that do not know Him, hopefully to bring great conviction. We pick up the scene here in the life of Christ, where he has just healed the centurion's servant. You know that story? You know, the centurion is a leader in the Roman army, and he has 100 men that report to him. That's where the idea of centurion comes from. And so this leader in the Roman army had a servant that was sick, and he sent for Jesus. And you remember the story, as Jesus was heading to his home, he sent word to say, "You don't have to come to my house. I know if you speak the word, my servant will be healed." And so, though this servant was gravely ill, the Bible says that he was at the point of death, Jesus spoke the word, and he was healed. Coming off of that scene, we find ourselves now with this scenario here at the in this little town of Nain. Jesus has just dealt with a man that was almost dead, right? He was at the point of death, and he raised him up.
But now, Jesus is facing a man that's well dead, and he's on his way to the cemetery. The suspense is there. You have to not think of the Bible as simply a story, but God wants our hearts to be engaged. This is real life. Real life. You know, like this widow here, you can think of it. Try to imagine this widow that's on the way to the cemetery with her only son. And think of the kind of challenges that she has faced and that she's going to face in the future. And just like that widow, you and I have problems in life that we're going to have to face, right? We got family problems. We got financial problems. We have health problems. We have employment problems. And the litany goes on. We've got problems in life that we have to face. And if you're a Christian, you have to be considering and contemplating, what is Jesus going to do in this situation? You see, nobody knew what Jesus was going to do. You and I read the story and we know the end result, but they didn't know. And so you and I face problems in life, and we have to, if you're a Christian, your trust is in Christ, you have to be wondering, what's Jesus going to do in this situation? Because God lets us face problems that are beyond our natural ability to solve, right? He forces us to trust Him. And I want to try to convince you in just a few minutes from these few verses, that these verses prove to you and me that Jesus, first of all, cares for our human weaknesses. He cares for us. And secondly, I want to convince you that He conquers. Jesus conquers any human weakness. Nothing is beyond Him. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. We find those, I believe, as I looked at this passage, I believe that we see these two truths bound together here. He cares and He conquers. He cares and He conquers. Because it really doesn't benefit you very much to have a God who only cares and can't do anything about it. Jesus cares, and He can do something about it. And it's human nature that when we're in trouble, our soul cries out, our heart cries out to God. We're like, when we're in trouble, we're like those disciples. You remember when the disciples were there in the boat with Jesus and the storm came up and the waves were billowing and there was real terror, real fear in that boat because they didn't know the outcome. They didn't know for sure what was going to happen. And you remember they ran to Jesus and they said, "Teacher," their question was, "do you not care?" That's the issue. That's the issue. "Lord, I'm in trouble. Do you care? Do you care? I know what the Bible says, but Lord, do you care for me? I need you to care for me right now, right here, in this specific situation." We all face those kinds of circumstances in life. And the soul cries out to God. And oh my, that's a good place to be. And your heart is crying out to God. You see, we can cry to each other, but none of us can do for each other what God can do for us. Now, this paragraph portrays a widow, right? We have a widow presented before us this evening. And you have to somewhat... You cannot simply approach the Bible with the 21st century mentality, and particularly an American mentality. Okay? This woman has grown up in a culture where she's dependent upon her livelihood from her husband. And then the great blessing to families, and particularly to a woman, was to have sons, or at least a son. Now, what do we see portrayed right here? She's a widow, so obviously she's lost her husband. But this passage makes it very clear that she also has lost her only son. She has no natural source of support. Oh, can't you see Christ? What better situation is there for Jesus? And when you need help beyond the natural means. Paul writing Timothy would call this woman a widow indeed, or truly a widow. Doesn't have any natural support. Lost her husband. Now she's facing the real reality of having lost her only son. And you can just sense the kind of grief and despair that she's probably facing now.
But then I love verse 13. And we keep that in mind. And then we come across verse 13. It says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." Isn't that good? When you're hurting. When you're hurting, first of all, to know that Jesus sees you. Many other people may look at the outward appearance. They don't know necessarily what's going on. God is the only one that really knows what's going on in the heart. And so Jesus saw her, and he had compassion on her. It means compassion means to experience great affection for someone, to have great pity, to actually enter into the emotional experience that they are having. The Bible portrays Jesus as a sympathetic high priest, right? Sympathetic high priest. Oh my, that's good. Good. Now, one other thing I want you to notice here. You see, verse 13 says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" I want you to think about something. I want you to think about this now. The Lord took the initiative, right? Jesus took the initiative. This is not like the centurion. The centurion sent for Jesus. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. This widow did not send for Jesus. But he was right there when she needed him. And not only was he just hanging around, Jesus took the initiative. And I thought about this. You notice that he said three words. Right? I want to say something to you. He said, "Do not weep." When people are hurting, we need to choose our words very carefully. Platitudes don't work when I'm not talking about you when you're going through, we all have little issues. But I mean when you're hurting, we need to choose our words carefully. You know, it's so tempting to embrace someone and say, "It's going to be all right." But Jesus came, and he said to this hurting widow, "Don't weep." Or in the words of the New Testament to you and I, "Don't weep as those who have no hope." Oh, my. Christians, we don't weep as if those who have no hope. We grieve and we weep, but we weep with hope because we love and serve the God of hope. God of hope. We have hope in him. Hallelujah. So our words are extremely important when people are hurting. I just want to say this last thing as I
think about before we think about my other point. Jesus attends funerals to comfort us. All right? This account is not just here for us to historically look back and see how Jesus was. That's not how Jesus was. That's how he is. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He still attends funerals to comfort. And I say that to the Oates family and friends, all whom are hurting. Jesus still knows the right words to help you where you hurt. The other thing I noticed is that Jesus conquers human weakness. I know you're wondering, where are you coming up with that, Brother Willie? Well, let me show you. Here's the way I saw this thing as I tried to unpack it. Jesus breaks through the limitations of traditions and ceremonies. Let me show you what I mean. Notice verse 14. Now, after Jesus has given her comforting words, it says, then he did something, right? Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. They did. You don't do this kind of thing. Have you all seen these? You've seen funerals in the East nowadays, right? You know, where they're in the Muslim countries or somewhere where someone has died and they're carrying that body on that flatbed. Okay, that's a bier, and so the body is exposed and that funeral procession is moving. No one would dare touch that body or that bier, except Jesus. You see, Jesus is not limited by ceremonies and traditions. Thank God for that. We have many traditions in the Christian community that we feel like help people. But we could be wrong. Thank God Jesus breaks through those. When people have put all these fences up that they think are helping, Jesus can still move right in there and help you. Thank God for that. He breaks through traditions and ceremonies. One other thing I noticed here. Jesus not only breaks through what I call limitations of traditions and ceremonies. Jesus breaks through what I'm going to call human limitations. Here's what I mean. You notice, look at verse 14 again. He came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. Look at this. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. What? Now, you need to think about this. This is phenomenal. I know you've read it, but think about it. Think about you being in that funeral. You're in that funeral. Here comes someone you don't know. He walks up to your dead relative and starts talking to them. Now, this is real life. You see, Jesus is not limited. Who would dare speak to a dead body? Jesus. Who has any authority to speak to a dead body? Jesus. Oh my, listen to me. Human limitations don't limit Jesus. Hundreds of people could have gone into the graveyard where Lazarus was buried. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them could have lined up and walked up to Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. Not one time would he have come out. But oh, Jesus walks there. And Jesus says, one time, Lazarus, come out. What do you think he did? Came out. Listen to me. Death is no match for Jesus. Oh, Christian, that's the good news. Death is no match for Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa, that's right. Brother Brad said, death doesn't get the last word. Aren't you glad about that? Death doesn't have the last word with Sister Lydia. No, 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 no. Jesus gets the last word. Now, Jesus didn't plan for her to come back when she was gravely ill. How do you know that? Because he didn't bring her back. And Jesus didn't plan for her to come back right after she died. How do you know that? Because he didn't bring her back. But he plans for her to come back again. Because, you see, whether he speaks in this life or in the next, if he restores us back to life here, or later on, Jesus is going to speak. And when Jesus speaks and commands, dead people obey. If Jesus says, get up and I've got some more years for you to live, you'll live here. But if he doesn't, he says this. The Bible says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with what? A shout. You know what that word means in the original language? It means a cry of command. Jesus is coming back and he's going to command everybody that died in Christ, get up! What do you think they're going to do? Oh. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. You know what the next phrase said? And the dead Christ rise first. Why? Because he said, get up. Who would dare do that? Jesus. No limitations for Jesus. You glad about that? Yes, that's our hope. And I'm going to hurry on here. There's one last limitation that it's not in the text, but I couldn't leave this area without you thinking about this. You see, Jesus cannot only handle our physical problems. You see, Jesus deals with you when you die physically. But I want to tell you that Jesus can also handle you when you're dead spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. Because every one of us, if you're saved, every one of us was at one time, according to the Bible, dead in our trespasses and sins. Is that right? Now, the only way you're a Christian now is one day you didn't hear a preacher's voice. No. You, the preacher might have been speaking, but the preacher can't reach your heart, right? Or whoever was sharing the gospel with you can't reach your heart. But one day, if you're a Christian, you heard a voice. The Bible says, step two or three in the process, by the way. God already knew you, right? In ages past, you were far known, and then he predestined you. But then the Bible says one day he called you. Willie, get out of that mess. Get up. Live. That's how we got saved. Oh, sin and Satan is no match for Jesus. When it's time to save you, he can save you. My sheep, what? Hear my voice? I know them and they follow me. Guaranteed. That good? He cares and he conquers. He cares. Oh, it's family. He cares and he conquers. Nothing's too big for him. Nothing's too hard. Your hurt is not too deep. He heals. He heals. And he knows what you need. He knows. Well, one last thought. Listen to these three verses. fear seized them all. I imagine so. What? You think about that. You are on your way to the cemetery. Man shows up and tells the dead man to get up. And the Bible makes it clear. He got up and started talking. Yeah, I'm sure fear did seize them all. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people," and this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all surrounding country. Here's the last thing I want to leave with you. This is the way I word it. God is awesome. Jesus is awesome. Whoa, what are you talking about? That was real fear. You see, Cadillacs are not awesome. No. Escalades are not awesome, Maseratis and whatever they are. They're not awesome. No. The NASA program is not awesome. No. There's only one who is awesome. God, Jesus is awesome. Yes, he is. When you're rich, ask Nicodemus. He's awesome. When you're poor, you can ask the woman that only had those two little coins. He's awesome. Hallelujah. Ask the centurion. You can be a leader, and Jesus is awesome. Or you can be his servant, the servant, and he's still awesome. You can run the company, or you can work at the lowest job there, and Jesus is still awesome. If you're healthy, you can ask Zacchaeus. He's awesome. But also, if you're sick, you can ask the woman with the issue of blood. He's awesome. He's awesome. Is that right? If you're happy, he's awesome. Ask the people at the wedding in Cana. Jesus is awesome. Hey, if you're sad, ask Mary and Martha. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. When you're hungry, Jesus is awesome. When you're thirsty, when you're afraid, when you're discouraged, Jesus is awesome. He's awesome at weddings, awesome at funerals, awesome at worship services. He's awesome everywhere, all the time. Jesus is awesome. Awesome. He's awesome for you right now, Brother Jack. He'll be awesome for you right now. Awesome for you right now, Elise, Marcus, Dale, all the family. He'll be awesome for you right now. You don't have to wait. The good thing about Jesus, you see, we got to go home. He won't leave you. Is that good? Woo! Never leave you. And so, it's my prayer for the family and friends here tonight. Did you find real comfort in Jesus because he cares for you? It's my prayer that you'd find real peace in Jesus because he can conquer any situation. And it's my prayer that you find real praise for Jesus because he really is an awesome God. Father, we thank you for the life of Sister Lydia Lee Oates. Thank you for so graciously planting her here in our midst and giving her full life. Thank you for the fruit of her life that's here among us today. And Father, I pray that
You go far beyond these little feeble words of mine, and would you speak real words of comfort to those who hurt here this evening? We thank you that we can look to you, we can call upon you, that we can seek you. You're a great God and greatly to be praised. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, family, is there anything else that you want to say before we dismiss? I don't want to be presumptuous. Anything else that needs to be said? You good? Everybody good? We love y'all. Love you. Love you. All right. Well, if nothing else, let's stand together and we'll be dismissed then. Praise God from whom all
Brother Brad.
Blessings flow.
Praise Him, all
creatures.
Now may the peace of our awesome God rest, rule, and abide upon every soul until that day when Christ returns and all of God's people are gathered together. As the old saints said in that great getting up morning, Lord, we look forward to that day where we will have reunions. And we look forward to seeing Lydia Oates on that day. Yes. But we especially look forward to seeing Jesus. Yes. So, Lord, we just thank you for being an awesome God of awesome comfort. Yes. Be that awesome comforter to this family. In Jesus' name, amen.